Wow, check out all this old vintage stuff. Mm. Haven't heard this for a long time. I don't remember saying that stuff.
It still has the warmth and the hiss.
That's back when you cared.
Yeah.
Oh, when was that?
Back then.
Way back.
Doesn't sound like I care here either.
Well, none of us care now, but you used to really care.
Vintage, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Oh, thank you. Question for all you people out there. What do you think you should have done by the time you're 30 years old? This got me thinking. And I sat down and came up with a whole bunch of things.
Well, that's so long ago for you. You don't even remember what you did by the time you're 30? What are you going to do by the time you're 50?
That's closing in fast, isn't it? What should you have done by the time you were 30 years old? I got a couple more to start, then we'll take your calls, 520-9710. Heading the list, of course, is stop calling your parents home home by the time you're 30. And if you still call it home, stop doing that. Here's another. By the time you're 30 years old, you should have believed, terrifyingly, if only for an instant, that you were about to die.
Oh, I think that every day, so I'm right on track so far.
Do you really? Well, you're like a hypochondriac then.
Oh, yeah.
Every day you think you're going to die?
Today I have some weird, sharp, excruciating pain in my stomach. So, again, most people would just go, probably a little indigestion. I don't know. But I think, oh, God, you know, what it's my liver. Something's wrong with my liver. So every day I think, yeah, it's probably something terminal, instead of just letting the pain just be, because everybody has aches and pain.
Wait, what's the thing that you should actually believe once? To the core, you think you're going to die.
Yeah, terrifyingly. I almost drowned, actually, one time. I thought I was going to die. I was pulling
and I let him up. Okay, I can't kill.
Two different times, actually, I faced my own death. I was 19 or 20, I forget, college, and I was swimming with jeans on.
What?
You're that ashamed?
Yeah.
Good Lord, wet jeans. Oh.
Well, we were out the watering hole during college, and everyone was jumping in.
Everyone had their jeans on.
Well, I think everyone else is probably in shorts or flipped their shoes off, but I think I might have been drunk, too. And this is one of these big sand quarries like you see in the movies or whatever, where you just jump 20 feet down to this giant pool of water. And I jumped in fully clothed, jeans, shoes, the whole thing, and sunk like a rock. I didn't come up. And friends saw me do that, and they pulled my, you know, butt out, and I was fine. But I thought, as I went under the water and didn't surface, I thought, I'm going to die. I thought that for a moment. And if you haven't experienced...
Who saved you so I can kick their ass?
Of course, you know, they drugged me out. I had to act like I was cool. Oh, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I'll shake it off.
I almost
out.
Had you.
Yeah,
get the hose down.
Gotcha. That changed my life, actually. I mean, I became a more serious, sensible person, and, you know, I that changed my life. And until you've actually faced death like that, and you should have done that at least once by the time you're 30, actually thought you're going to die, you become a different person.
Yeah, my parachute didn't open once.
What?
Well, sort of. It didn't open all the way. It was, like, flapping like a flag in the wind. Half of it was, like, open and puffy.
Frank.
That's the first
flappy, flap, flap, flap. I was coming down. I mean, you really can't tell how fast you're coming down because the ground's so far away. I just knew I was going slower than I was going. And the guy, it's like a one-way radio, and the guy on the ground is like trying to guide you in so you don't land, you know, a mile away. He's like, well, if you can't get that parachute there fixed, you better pull the emergency cord. And I'm like, at the point where I can see people, and so I'm not letting go of this one. I'll break both my legs, but I'm not letting go of this thing. It's at least slowed me down a little bit. Then right at the very end, I did the braking thing, and it fixed my chute. Right at the end, I landed in a cornfield and tipped my nose.
Oh, my God, Frank.
But I lived. But I thought I was going to die. I thought, oh, hell, I'm going to die here. It's the first time I've ever been skydiving. I'm going to die.
Your first jump, and the guy tells you might have to. Now, when you pull the emergency cord, you have to cut the main one loose, right?
Yeah, it leaves. And then it takes, you know, you fall again, and it takes time for the new one to come out.
And there is no backup plan if the emergency chute doesn't work.
Yeah.
So that's why you stuck with the...
I just said, it'd be a better story if I broke both my legs. I mean, what a great pickup line that's going to be. How'd you break your legs? Skydiving.
Really?
Have you gone skydiving...
Stroke, kiss, kiss.
...a second time?
No.
Hmm. See? Interesting. Yeah.
Why?
I know, Frank.
I've done it. I almost died. I'm not doing it again.
I agree.
It's like I was playing racquetball. I had my teeth knocked out. Racquetball's just not that fun for me anymore. So I just don't play.
Frank, actually, you thought you were going to die from one.
I thought I was going to die.
It's a healthy experience.
You're not 30 yet. You have 3 years yet to think it.
Yeah, I have a little time to think about it.
But she thinks she's dying every day from a stomach pain.
But I didn't know we were talking about, like, events that happen that almost kill us.
No, you convinced yourself that you're going to die probably within moments. No? Nothing like that for you?
I've been in a car accident where I went through the windshield that I thought...
Well, that beats both of us.
Wow.
Tell
us about that.
That doesn't beat skydiving or almost drowning.
You went through a windshield. I landed in a cornfield, cut my nose.
Tell us about it, Priestley. What happened to you?
I had nine... I was in the passenger seat. I had 19 stitches put in my face. I still have
In your face?
Yeah, I still have
Think
scars
how good looking you were.
I know. That's why I sued and won.
Why did they fix some more things when they were doing the plastic surgery?
They didn't do plastic surgery.
Yeah, that's the nose you picked? Oh, my Lord.
Stupid, huh? And they couldn't do anything about the lazy eye, so what are you going to do?
Oh,
I'm stuck.
Wow.
So, yeah, when I remember going through this puddle of water, and it was really wet, and we sort of fishtailed, and then just, like, at about 35 or 40 miles an hour, slammed head-on into a cement wall.
Oh, my God.
And my seatbelt, which was on, didn't work because I went through the windshield.
What do you mean it didn't work?
Broke my glasses. The guy, the doctor at the emergency room said, had I not had glasses on, I would have probably had my eyes, you know, my sunglasses saved from the shattering windshield glass going into my eyeballs. So everything happens for a reason. I had my sunglasses on that day for a reason.
So you just had the lap belt on. You didn't have a shoulder belt on. That's how your body
was. It was sunny at the beach. But her glasses were on to protect the glass out of her eyes.
Let me have my moment. So, yeah, I mean, I was a little bit scared there where I thought, I'm done. And they saw that when they saw the car that I was in, they said it's amazing that that passenger survived.
How many seconds did everything go in slow-mo for like 4 or 5 seconds?
Yep.
Or did it happen so quick you didn't,
it,
you know,
you'd experience right after
it
went slow-mo. When it happened, it was like, boom. And then afterwards, when I pulled the visor down and to look at my face, and my face is just covered with blood. You know what a hypochondriac I am. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then some people pulled up, and everything was happening in slow motion after it happened.
He looked at your face.
I did.
So vain that you're lying.
Check your makeup.
You're lying on the hood of the car. Do you want to check and see if your mascara's running?
Anyone have a comb?
I'm an actress, Frank. You never know who might drive by while I'm waiting for the ambulance.
Yeah, most people get discovered in the hood of a car bleeding.
So your life didn't flash in front of your eyes like the cliche says? You didn't see your whole life story?
No, so maybe I wasn't close to death. Maybe I just thought I was.
Wow.
I think that actually happens if you are really legitimately close to death.
Okay. Wow.
Did your life flash before your eyes when you were almost drowning? And when?
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
And that kind of, that's always bothered me.
Because you have no life.
I have no life.
It's a dark hole.
It's just nothing. Well, okay. Nobody developed this film.
Oh.
It's just people pointing and laughing.
I know. And that was like, you know, years ago when I vowed to actually have a life. Since then, so far, nothing's happened either. Strange. Things you should have done by the time you're age 30. Here's another one. You should have, and I haven't done this either. By the time you're 30, you should have nursed someone you love through the flu.
Oh, I've done that.
See, you have. Frank, I know you've had a sick girlfriend and nursed her through the flu.
I really didn't nurse her through it because I had a buddy in town. And I just said, you know, here's some water and, you know, a bucket in case you got to puke. We're going down to the bar here because I don't want to get sick.
Oh, my God.
I don't
want
to get him sick. He's just passing through. So,
okay.
You know, just there's TV. Here's a remote.
Well, I guess that counts.
That does not count.
I gave her a bucket.
That doesn't count.
What do you mean it doesn't count?
You need to hold the bucket, and when she actually uses the bucket, you got to go dump the bucket out, rinse the bucket out, and bring it back.
Oh, yeah.
To her.
She hated that. She was like, I am the worst nurse. I have no sympathy for people. If they're sick, I'm just like, okay, here's a bucket. That's all I do.
Right.
Oh.
See, I would actually enjoy that. I would enjoy having a woman I love so much. If she gets sick, I can do the cold compress with the little water pan over there and ice on her forehead.
But if you have somebody like Heidi who's a hypochondriac, then she's going to be like milking you all the time.
No.
You're going to have to be like, everything is wrong with her. And, oh, take care of me.
No,
I
Frank.
Was like, you're not going to be faking this crap like all chicks
oh
do.
My God.
And you're not even sick. Now get up and get us some beers.
No, I would get...
Here's a can of chicken soup. Heat it up, bitch.
Here's the opener.
Not even an electric opener. Oh, boy.
Bill and Irvine, you're on 97.1.
Is it Frosty?
Yes, Bill.
Frosty, it's his grandpa.
Hi, Grandpa.
I miss you. Your grandpa's been doing a little time in the pen there, boy.
Right.
That's why I haven't talked to you. Listen, I had a few words that I think you may pep up your show there.
Okay, Grandpa.
One of them would be dode. And I can use it in a sentence. When I get home, I like to pull my dode.
Grandpa's funnier now than I remember in 85 when we buried him.
Number two is snapping the radish. Now, snapping the radish is not only good for farmers, but is also good for the layperson. And number three is as in during...
okay, thank you. Good, just hang up. Grandpa will never call again.
We had to edit that?
I think we did.
Thank you, Grandpa.
Grandpa just doesn't realize we're on here.
Right.
Well, he's old.
He'll probably have a weekend show.
That's fine.
Hey, let's hire that Grandpa guy. Put him on.
He could be the fourth Frank girl.
Nursing someone through the flu, I think, is a beautiful thing. I've never had someone to love so much I could nurse them through an illness.
I'm just one of those guys. I'm like an old Indian. You know, when I get sick, I just go out by myself and heal up or die. You know, I don't need any help, and so I just assume everybody should be like that. No. I hate the people who are just like, I'm sick. Could you pick, give me that blankie? More water? Medicine? Like, whatever.
Frank.
Yeah, you're sick, so just shut up and lay there, and you'll be better in a couple of days. I don't need to hear it.
I don't like you. Something you should have done by the time you're age 30, you should have fixed the toilet.
Damn it.
Me too. Didn't you feel like the ultimate man's man?
I felt like the man when I jammed it.
Does this count if I replaced the toilet seat and did it all?
Oh, yeah.
Went to Target, found out
it doesn't count.
It's fixing a toilet.
So it's not broken. You're just replacing the seat.
If the seat's broken, and you, well, I consider that fixing a toilet, yes.
Because it was cracked down the center, like...
Damn! Weight Watchers?
No, I'll tell you what. It was the seat that was in the house before I ever moved in. And then after wear and tear, and I let the lid slam too hard one too many times, and it was just a crack formed. And I was like, God, that looks nasty and dirty. So I'm going to go to Target and get a new toilet seat. And I did, and I put it on all by my sister.
Wasn't that the most disgusting thing on the planet when you had to reach up under there and undo the old screws?
I couldn't look. I was just I'll just do it without looking. And then I smelled my fingers.
Oh, you sicko.
Oh, I would have too.
Thanks.
The last couple times I've actually bought a little house or condo, the first thing I do is replace the toilet seat. It gives me the creeps using someone else's toilet seat. I want my own. And so the weirdest, I think the most disgusting part of your entire house, maybe the whole planet, is those two or four bolts up under there, under the seat that hold it on the toilet.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Disgusting.
I don't even think they have, like, threads. I think you just screw the screws into hair.
Oh,
that's what holds it into the hole. Past hair.
You get done, you just soak your hands in, like, detergent for 6 hours.
After you sniff them.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, these are the sort of things you should have done by the time you're age 30. This kind of hurts. You should have accepted the fact you will never be a movie star, rock star, supermodel, or sports hero unless you already are. Isn't that sad? And it's probably true. By the time you hit 30, if you haven't made it in the NFL, if you're not in the, you know, playing for the Dodgers.
Well, yeah, athlete, maybe. I can see you're not going to be a professional athlete after 30.
Rock star, same thing. There's not many. Well, Phil Collins.
I guess
you're
not going to break onto the scene as a 30-year-old rock star.
So if it ain't happened by then, it's not going to happen. And usually, movie stars, I mean, it's kind of sad. So if it hadn't happened by 30, your rock star dreams, your sports hero dreams, your acting dreams, your model dreams, it's never going to happen. And when you face the fact you're 30, oh, my God, it's like, where's my whiskey?
So I'm never going to be the leading man?
Never going to happen.
Damn.
So you have to accept that fact.
I would say out of all of those things, though, rock star and actress, you still have a shot at 30.
Slim chance.
40,
on the show, what's the show, American Idol?
Yeah.
Looking for none of those people over 30. I think the age limit was, what, 22?
It's 24, yeah.
Or something crazy.
Yeah.
And as for a reason, most people, let's say you want to get signed by a record label and go on tour. Well, how many can leave at your 45 years old and go on tour?
Wouldn't that be great?
Well, wouldn't it? Let's go. Let's start a band.
Well, think of what the groupies would look like.
Things you should have done by the time you're 30. Here's one.
And bags of blue hair in the mail.
Oh, God.
By the time you're age 30, men, you should have done this at least once in your life. Made a woman cry. And if you haven't made a woman cry at least once in your life by the time you're 30, you're not trying hard enough. You're not living life to its fullest.
I don't even get why you have to make a woman cry.
Break a woman's heart.
Oh, in a love way.
Make her cry.
Just pinch her real hard.
No, I just...
In a love way.
And okay. I don't think I've done that.
You've never broken a woman's heart?
I've had my heart broken, but I don't think I've ever broken anyone's heart. Isn't that sad? Because I've been dumped every time. I've never had the privilege of dumping.
I've broken a few hearts.
Oh, I can imagine, Frank.
Remember Debbie?
I remember Debbie.
The one who like came over for the one last time and played I Can't Make You Love Me If You Don't by Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, my God.
Crying the whole time. With every little...
Oh, she's lucky she's rid of you. Jesus.
Jeff in Garden Grove.
Hey, by the age of 30, you should realize that you're not going to get Tiffany Thiessen.
Well, I kind of realize that, Jeff. She's engaged to other we share.
Frank?
Hey, Tiffany, listen, every time she has a movie coming out or something she wants to plug, she does all the other shows.
She just doesn't like you then.
I don't know why. She's got our phone number. She's got our address. She has not come in, and she won't come
she
in.
She can self-promote anytime she wants to, and she chooses not to. And you think she's a friend of yours, like a friendly?
It's not like she's shunning me and not talking to me, so I don't understand why she won't come in and do our show. Or at least call.
Well,
I
have a neighbor, too, that I don't like at all, but I'm still cordial when they say, you know, in the alley, and they say, oh, hi, Heidi, how are you? I'm good, how are you? Is everything going good? Yeah, all right, how's been going? Oh, good, yeah. So I'm always cordial, too.
Oh, she's not like that. She's not, like, flippant and unmeaning. She actually...
That was flippant and unmeaning?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, anyway. Things you should have done by the time you were age 30. You should have sent a woman flowers. I've done that. I sent Tiffany flowers.
You have?
Yeah, many times.
Is that when the note said, come on our show anytime?
Yeah, whatever.
You really have?
Yeah, she crashed her car a couple summers ago.
You sent her flowers?
I sent her flowers, yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, as sort of a get well, because I assume she crashed her car, and she loved that car, I know that. And she was out there, and I saw the wrecker bring her mangled car up the driveway.
What kind of car she drive?
At that time, it was a Beamer, BMW.
What kind?
A black one? I don't know.
A black one. Well, you are a man.
I don't know model numbers of BMW, but whatever. It was being delivered. They brought her home, dumped her off, and then took the mangled car down to wherever they took it. And she was all shaken. Tiffany, what happened? Oh, some lady ran a stoplight, and she ran right into her. So I ordered flowers that were there for her that night. You know, hope you're fine. Call me if you need to talk about anything.
You are just that pestering freak.
Oh, that's kind of sweet, I think.
Sweet.
Heidi, he's a stalker.
But that's
sweet.
He's
borderline.
If I wreck my car and my neighbor sends over flowers just saying, you know, I heard about it and I'm really sorry. I hope you're feeling okay.
Well, glad you're better. You know, glad you weren't hurt.
No, sweet.
The person you hate in the alley is right there when you get brought home.
Hey, what happened? What happened?
Frank, I wasn't like that.
Well, I had a car accident.
You know, I sent you flowers.
I love when you do imitations of me like that. That's not how I was at all.
Totally you.
No, it was very... Tiffany, are you okay?
When they do the movie of you, I'm playing it.
Hey, Tiffany, flowers?
How's your gassy like that?
I think it's nice.
Thank you. Things you should have done by the time you're age 30. You should have thought you got a chick pregnant at least once the time you're 30 years old. Frank?
You ass. That's not even on the list. Here's
well, it
me
is
and
now.
Me now.
I wrote it in, just now.
Wait, is it really on the list?
Yeah, it really honestly is.
You have to think that you got somebody pregnant?
Not necessarily done it, but thought that you got a chick
pregnant. Had a scare.
Yeah, a scare. At least once by the time you're age 30.
Okay.
Now, I'm not really sure that, I don't agree with that, because if you remember those awful diseases and risks of pregnancies and all that, you should never be in that situation. You should never have that risk.
No, I think you're always, if you're a normal male, 30 years old or younger, you probably had a relationship sometime, and the girl was late a couple days or so, and she came to you and said, I'm late. For no other reason than just to tell you, because she was freaked out, because she was late a couple days.
No woman has ever said that to me, and I'm a normal male. I am.
You have to have sex with the women first. You know, they assume it's not yours.
When they say I'm late.
They're telling the guy they're sleeping with. They're not telling you, the boyfriend.
So you've had that scare at least once, huh, Frank?
Oh, many times.
Many times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
I told you, I think I have a kid in Kentucky someplace.
Yeah, right.
I'm about 16 by now.
Heidi, have you had that scare? Have you thought you got a chick pregnant?
No, my hands are clean. Thank you, Jesus.
Have you ever been late?
I've never been late, no. Never.
You're, like, consistent like a clock?
Clockwork. That's why if I ever was late, I'm talking by the hour, I would go... I'm pregnant. I'm one of those girls that would know as soon as it happened. As soon as it happened. And the moment that it happened, I would be saying...
You'd will it to happen. You'd, like, give the sperm directions. You're that type.
Laugh.
Yeah.
I probably would.
She wants a baby so bad. She talks about that all the time in the
office.
She's like, I want a baby.
I do want a baby.
I must have missed this talk. You guys are talking about that. I think she's dropping hints to you then, Frank, because she's never said those words to me.
She was just spitting that out. I think I was looking at my Stuff magazine that has Brooke Burns in it.
Yeah.
She's the dog-eat-dog host.
Yeah.
Really hot chick. Has a little baby. She's like, I would love to be have a baby and be a single mother.
She's dropping hints to you, Frank. She wants you to do the David Crosby thing and do some in vitro.
No, I want to do it the old-fashioned way. No, I want you to earn it.
I would do it the old-fashioned way if I really wanted
really?
To.
You too? With Frank?
Oh, what the hell?
You want to have my kid?
No, I didn't say I want...
You like the traits that I have, that you want to have a little baby?
No, no.
Here's a bucket, Mommy.
I want my son to be able to nurse me when I'm sick.
Yeah, what traits of Frank are admirable? It's like...
Come on, Ivy, spit them out.
What, your admirable traits?
Yeah, make a long list, because I know you can.
It's not that long. You're funny.
That's it?
He's not funny.
Come on.
You're attractive.
There's more than that. I'm attractive. Come on. These aren't hard for you to say. Come on. Funny and attractive.
That's it. I can't think
of it. That's it? That's all I provide.
Funny and attractive. That's it.
That's really all you need, right? Any woman's looking for funny and attractive. If you're looking for funny and attractive, give me a call. 520-9710.
I can just hear the sexual tension on this side of the table over here. It's amazing. She's dropping hints, Frank. Sometime you're going to get all liquored up and you're going to do the deed. She's going to have your love child.
You think so?
That'd
absolutely.
That'd be good radio, huh?
Maybe we'll do it summer jam.
You're in Boston?
I'll summer jam it.
Anyway.
I'm going to have to drink a lot of Sam Adams beer.
Me too.
Hey.
Frosty, Heidi, and
Frosty the next day. What the hell happened? You tricked me.
97.1, the FM talk station.
This is 97.1 FM Talk.
Ho, ho, ho! Saint Nick here. Do me a favor. Give someone on your list this year at HD Radio. That's the big gift this season. Everybody wants one. And what with the cost of reindeer fuel and all, I'm trying to lighten the load in the sleigh. And, well, it just means so much more coming from you anyway. Tell you what, I gotta meet my agent at the Ivy in 5. Do this. Text GIFT to 58011 for some HD Radio holiday specials. Tell them Santa sent you. Ho, ho, ho! Happy holidays from HD Radio and 97.1 FM Talk.
The Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Show is FM Talk middays. Frosty is a weirdo, and Frank has lots to say. And Heidi is the hottest chick on radio today. Her ass gives us comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Heidi's ass gives us comfort and joy.
Rack's nice, too.
Happy holidays from 97.1 FM Talk.
Your SoCal Mercedes-Benz dealers are in the unique position to offer a most sought-after commodity, financing. Excellent financing and lease offers are readily available for qualified buyers through Mercedes-Benz Financial. See your Mercedes-Benz dealer today or click mbsocal.com.
Hey, officer.
Didn't I stop you on Black Friday?
Yeah, but now Samsung is offering up to $400 instant rebates on select Touch of Color LCDs and plasmas. I don't want to miss out.
This means I can get another HD TV. And with a value like this, the guys at the station will want one, too. Dispatch, put out an APB on Samsung HD TVs.
Get up to $400 instant rebates on select Samsung Touch of Color HD TVs from December 7th to the 23rd. Samsung, when the most desirable gifts are also the most affordable, imagination lives.
This holiday, make yourself a millionaire from scratch. Play the Make Me a Millionaire Scratchers and you could end up a contestant on the Make Me a Millionaire TV game show. The California Lottery, a state of winning.
KLSX. KLSX HD. Los Angeles. With Frosty, Heidi, and Frank middays. And Raider football every weekend. On air at 97.1. Online at 97.1FMTalk.com.
Found by McDonald's premium roast iced coffee in 5 delicious flavors.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Good weekend?
Long weekend.
Well, it's supposed to be. It's a holiday weekend.
Oh, yeah. That's why it seems so damn long. Wasn't a holiday for me. I didn't do anything.
Oh. Did you watch the Indy 500?
I watched the Indy 500.
I didn't.
Well, see, because...
I was working.
At 10 in the morning on Sunday, you were working?
I was working on Best Of's for our vacation this summer.
Right.
Putting some shows together and editing out all the stuff that sucks, and I didn't realize you talk so much.
What, me? Well, I was editing over the weekend, too, and I didn't realize you talk so much. I edit you out every time I have a chance. Snip, 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 snip. No, Frank.
I'm sure listen anyway. I'm sure they'll be great without me.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Obviously, you owe me $100.
Oh,
because we had the bet, and I took the girly driver, and she ended up coming in fourth.
Danica Patrick.
It looks like your drivers came in fifth and seventh.
I know. It was a great race. So, see, it starts at noon, Indiana time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, what, 9 or 10 our time. It's crazy.
Yeah, I missed it.
So it's early. It was a great race. The thing is, Danica Patrick, the little girl, the 23-year-old, 5'1" girl who drives race cars, I said wasn't going to have a chance because I said you got to be an athlete. You have to be in shape to drive the Indy 500. And she's competing against all these guys twice her size. And the G-forces going into every turn are just incredible. Try driving your car 217 miles an hour for 3 hours.
I try, but I always get pulled over when I'm hitting about 95. Believe me, I try.
Yeah, and I said there's no way. I said she's there because the car is an amazing car, and they just plopped her little lightweight body in it to give it an advantage. I said she was going to, like, die or drop out or crash five laps in. And the bet was $100, was it not?
Yes, it was.
The two I thought would win came in fifth and seventh. You're right. She came in fourth. Frank, I now take it all back. I now peel off $100.
I hang on, some of that's mine. You just asked me for money.
Well, you'll get yours later.
Oh. Yeah, he didn't have a dollar.
I need a $1 bill.
Only large bills for the soda machine. They don't
all
have
right,
hundreds
fine.
In there.
Here you go, Frank. I take it all back. After seeing the incredible race job that the little girl did, she is an incredible racer. She makes some stupid mistakes. Here's your $100.
Thank you.
She
wow.
made some stupid mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, she stalled her car. And you hear the guys in the radio telling her how to turn the damn car
real.
On.
Frank's checking for counterfeit.
You never know with him.
She wiped another driver out because she didn't know how to warm her tires up. And even so, she still clawed her way back and did an incredible racing job. Even was leading the race towards the very end and was very close to winning.
I heard she had a chance to win, but she ran out of gas or something.
Within two or three laps to go, she was still leading.
Now, is that her fault or her pit crew's fault?
They gambled to try to finish the race with enough gas, and they just about made it. Incredible racer. I take it all back. She's brilliant. I'm in awe of her.
Did you hear a lot of the guys are complaining saying that she has an advantage because she is so much smaller and therefore she weighs lighter? That means her car can go faster because there's not as much weight weighing the car down?
That's true. That's absolutely true. Because cars have to weigh the same, and then the drivers usually weigh about the same. Well, you take 100 pounds off her car.
So they have to handicap it? Okay.
They say it gains her 1 mile an hour. Because
really?
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. So like racehorses, they got to put weight on her car.
Well, there's one guy, I think his name is Robbie Gordon, who's a good racer, who refused to race against her. He says, and he's not in the race. He said, the only way I'll ever compete with her is if we equalize the weight.
Because he knows he'll get beat.
And the Brent Musburger says, well, try eating some salad then.
Who is the fattest driver out there?
Oh, gosh. No one really. No one's fat.
AJ Foyt used to be the fattest.
Oh, he's big. He got big.
But that means you can't even.
He's filling off the top.
You can't even lift and like get muscle weight because I mean you're still going to be heavy that way. So you really can't even get in too good a shape.
But they said the stamina. You have to be like an athlete because again the wear and tear, the physical exhaustion of doing that is just unbelievable. When you're riding a roller coaster and you go through the spin, isn't the G-force like 3 G's or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they experience in every turn, and this is all afternoon now, while driving through heavy traffic at 270 miles an hour.
What is that point you reach when you're doing the G's, you know, in that machine, the centrifuge, whatever
where
it is, and where you pass out, you're like, mm-hmm. You just watch somebody pass out. How many G's is that?
7 or 8, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I get that face at the end of a party after tequila shots. I get the 7 G face.
You get that sticking your face out the window.
Like a dog.
Anyway, so there. You know, I'm not betting Frank anymore. I'm saying this now. I was thinking of this over the weekend because I wanted to get me a new computer monitor, and I couldn't scrape up enough money. And I'm thinking, God, I make a decent salary. Where the hell's all my money going? And I wait a minute.
It's only $100, Jesus.
For this, $100 for Survivor, $100
that didn't
for
go to me. I went to Heidi.
We have $100 for NCAA,
mm-hmm.
$2,000 for the diet challenge I'm losing. I probably lost $3,000 this year between you two.
And you know
that
I'm,
tapped you out for the year.
Yes.
I'm
going to
think of you, Frosty, when I'm in Maui getting my hot stone massage. That, you know, part of the $1,000, I'm going to be, you know, your money. I'm going to be paying for massages and pedicures. It's going
to
be great.
Well, I've got 2 weeks to lose 46 pounds. I can still win.
Well, we've given you every advantage. I mean, you got to pick two drivers. I only got to pick the one.
I know. Well,
you had
I was wrong.
Basically 6 months to lose extra fat, and you didn't even
pounds.
Lose 8 pounds.
I've gained six.
You've gained six.
See, we should have put something on the other side of that. So
I tried.
Gain,
I tried to flip it over, and he didn't want to take the bet. I'm like, yeah. If you gain 50, I'll give you $1,000.
Well, that might kill me off.
I make it 2,000 then.
No, I'm now we're gambling
she's
again.
She's at a five. All right, we're up $7,000.
I'm sorry. I'm not in any more office pools. No more $100 bets. See, if I bet someone, I'll bet you $1, Frank. Bet you $100 or bet you $1,000.
We always go big.
Well, you know, someone your age needs to think about retirement. You can't really be spending your retirement.
Well, that's true.
We got plenty of years left. I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
In.
Well, right. Yeah, I'm closer. I may want to run me a little B&B in Santa Barbara.
Oh, lovely. Is it dog friendly? A I'll come up and see you.
Only dogs.
Anna.
Hi, triplets. Welcome back.
Hello.
Hey, I'm not a huge NASCAR fan, but I've been listening to, like, everybody's opinion on this whole thing. And if race car drivers think that the weight thing is such a big issue, then why aren't they really skinny like guys who ride, like,
jockeys?
Now, you said NASCAR. We were talking about IndyCar. It's different. I think you can be fat in a NASCAR. No, you can be fat in a NASCAR because those cars weigh thousands and thousands of pounds.
Okay, but my point is, if being thin and being small was such a big advantage, then why aren't they all skinny? Jockeys are. Jockeys star themselves just so that they can win. Because
it doesn't matter with NASCAR.
Hmm.
It don't matter with any car, Frosty.
Well, then.
No, it really does. I mean, if it matters in an Indy car, she gets a second. And well, there's nobody who weighs 200 pounds. She weighs 100 pounds. So I'm guessing those guys probably weigh 140, 150.
Yeah.
So they have 50 more pounds, and she gets an extra mile. So 50 more pounds than a NASCAR would have the same effect. Doesn't matter.
No, because a NASCAR is like the size of your car. It weighs, a couple thousand pounds.
It doesn't matter if the driver 50 pounds heavier, then it's going to be 50 more pounds on that car than the other car.
It's Frank, no different than putting different tires on it.
It's diluted because the Indy car is a lightweight car. It doesn't weigh anything close to what a NASCAR does, so a 100-pound difference there is significant. 100 pounds different. Frank,
make a difference. Those cars aren't that heavy. They're just basically shells. They look really big and massive. It's this engine with a plastic shell on it.
I think 100 pounds makes a bigger difference in an Indy car than a NASCAR car. A big difference.
No, I'm going to be able to make a car go faster, Frosty, because I'm considerably, I weigh less than you do.
You think you and me climbing in the same Range Rover or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and flooring it, you think you're going to go a little faster because you're a little lighter?
Of course.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, but incrementally. Now we both squeeze our bodies in a lightweight little Indy racer, you'll have a huge advantage.
Did you learn all this by watching Sunday?
Yes, Brent Musburger.
I'm like, how the hell do you know anything about racing or sports or anything?
Jackaroot explained it all to me.
Jackaroot? That sounds filthy.
Sounds like a condition. Oh, my God, you've got Jackaroot.
You're such a Jackaroot.
Speaking of Jack, here's one in Laguna Beach. Hello, Jack.
Hey, Frosty, you're wrong. It does matter in NASCAR. The weight of the driver has a lot to do with it. But what I called about was that Jeff Gordon only weighs 140.
He's tiny.
And the girl weighs 100. And they're all complaining about it. So they really don't have an argument. They're just mad because it's a girl.
Well, maybe. Yeah, I understand that because I was too. But I'm over that.
140-pound guy? Oh, my God.
Small little man.
I could eat him. He's just
could.
A tiny little thing.
You
weigh
more than 140?
What?
You weigh more than what?
You had to carry him across the threshold.
I know. I hate that. God.
Well, combined, you two are 295?
How dare you? 280, maybe.
Mike.
Good morning, triplets.
Hello.
Foggy, you said you weren't going to do any more betting, but I'll bet you $100 right now that you'll bet Frank or Heidi by next Friday.
Oh, a double bet. No.
Very tricky,
not
Mike.
Not taking you up on
right?
that one. No. No, sorry,
come
I'm over
on.
It.
Come on, Frosty.
No. What did I just say? No more bets. Sorry, I'm over that.
Yeah, if you take that one, you instantly lose. So.
Yeah, I know. See, it's...
You wouldn't even take one you knew for sure you could win?
Yeah, but that caller was rigged.
I would say, I bet that you will have sex by this Friday. I'll bet you $100 you will.
Yeah, you will.
That's not possible.
Well, right. So you would bet me $100, right?
Well, wild things happen, Heidi. As soon as I take that bet with my luck,
all of a sudden, somebody's banging you.
I am having sex. It's going to cost me $100.
That's less than what it normally costs you.
Less than 100 for the sex.
It's like he makes a bet, and then someone actually wants to get lay him, and he's like, "No, I can't. I got $100 riding on it."
Back in your calls, 888-520-9710. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. So I got to my car after the Indy 500 was done on Sunday. And I drove down the hill to 7-Eleven, and I drove fast.
Oh, yeah, you told me $100.
What?
I won that.
I already paid you $100.
You did?
Beginning of the show, Frank.
You're not that old, are you?
Yeah, I know. I was like, nice testing the old Alzheimer's.
I was hoping this is a test for his dementia and Alzheimer's.
I didn't pay you. Here you go.
I was hoping to get the next break. I'd walk out of here,
I was loaded.
$1,200 by the end of the show.
And it hurt to give you that money, too, by the way.
I know. It was close. I mean, fourth and fifth. I mean, pretty close race.
I know. Damn it. Last time I bet you. Anyway, Danica Patrick, I've taken it all back. I feel bad because I went off on her because she was a girl, and I thought she was a woman.
And you hate women.
No, you do.
There's some sports that women shouldn't do, and I think driving race cars is one of them. But that's what I said.
No, I think that's the only one that they should do. I mean, when it's competitive with men, because it's pretty much the car.
Yes, yes.
And if it's all the same horsepower and you know, everybody's got the same thing going on, well, then it's completely fair. It doesn't matter who's steering and who's pressing the gas.
Well, as we've been talking about, though, there is an unfair advantage if she weighs half as much as the male driver.
That's a bunch of crybabies.
Right, the physics guys, the Indy 500 coverage, said it adds 1 mile an hour to her car. She has a 1 mile an hour advantage over everyone else because she weighs half as much.
Then can't they work harder to make a
She's only the fourth woman who's ever raced in the race history.
Yeah.
And placed the highest ever. So it's like, if this was such a big thing, why wouldn't women get in a long time ago with their light asses?
Well, the other women were kind of big and bony, like Heidi.
Your name is Janet Guthrie. You're not small bones.
It takes me all day to get once around the track.
What's the other lady's name?
Oh, hell.
Susan St. James or something?
Susan St. James?
No, she was Kate Nally.
Sally Ride.
Susan St. James? Sally Ride, you know.
An astronaut. Susan St. James on Kate Nally.
Well, she was.
Yeah, she was.
Meredith Baxter Burney.
No, that's Family Ties.
Sandra Day O'Connor.
Jackie Joyce Kearney Jersey.
They never did any good at the 500.
Well, there probably will be more women racing now, and I'm not sure they should. You can die and disfigure yourself. There's some things women, you know, I'm sorry, if you're going to race cars, you're going to have a lot of crippled women with their faces burned off.
So?
But if you're willing to take that chance, I mean, why not?
Well, Danica Patrick blows me away. She's a great driver. She would have problems, like she stalled her damn car in the pits. And it's funny because you heard the guy on the radio, the crew chief, telling her how to start the car. She didn't know.
Danica, you got to turn it off and turn it back on. Turn it off and turn it back on.
Okay. Anyway, but then she would battle herself. She'd battle from 10th back to 4th.
Was she ever putting on her mascara as she was rounding the curves?
No.
See, that's talent. I'm going 280.
While on her cell phone. With
changing
a foot hanging out.
Yeah, changing CDs. Do you think they listen? No, they can't listen to music because they have to listen to their crew.
Yeah, if they had a CD on, that would
but that would help, though, wouldn't it? Like just going around that track.
Driving music,
can't drive
Heidi.
55, baby, or Life in the Fast Lane. Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Try explaining that to Michael Andretti when he yells at you. I was telling you the instructions. Oh, sorry, I had a CD on.
I'm sorry, the Dixie Chicks were singing Sin Wagon, and I couldn't hear you.
Sin Wagon.
I'm sorry.
It's your autobiography, isn't it?
Sin Wagon, right.
Ken and Upland, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, hi. The difference is with NASCAR is they weigh the car and the driver to a minimum weight, so you could have a heavy driver or a light driver, and it doesn't change anything.
Okay.
Because it's the weight of the car, kind of like the Cub Scouts Pinewood Derby.
Oh, the Pinewood Derby.
Did you ever do that? Did you guys ever do that?
The car has to weigh under a certain amount.
I was never in that. My parents said it was too dangerous. I couldn't do it.
Too dangerous? It's a block of wood you carve.
But you have to roll down a hill.
No, you don't sit in it.
Well, but how do you? I thought you did. Right? I thought you drove it.
It's a little car that you make. It's a block of wood with four nails and four wheels, and you got to like whittle a car together.
Oh, I thought.
And then you race it down this little wooden track.
Oh, I thought there was the kind you got in.
There's the kind you get in as well.
That's what I was thinking
of
too.
That's the Pinewood Derby.
Huh.
No, that's a soapbox derby. Those are soapbox cars.
Soapbox derby. That's the one.
We were thinking of soapbox derby, Frost.
That's what
I wanted. The block of pinewood. The Pinewood Derby.
Yeah, Mom wouldn't let me do the soapbox derby. She didn't want me to get hurt. Now you need those hands to play piano, you know.
That's
right. You don't want to be breaking any bones. Yes, Mother.
All typics queer. Here's Frosty, all typic queer wagon.
Did you see the bizarre race?
Keeps the rainbow colors nice and bright. Keeps them from fading.
Did you see the bizarre race down the hill in England over the weekend where people were breaking their bones? Let me show you.
Yeah.
The annual thing that goes back centuries, the annual chasing of the cheese.
Chasing of the cheese? I've done that.
Have you?
Yeah.
There's a photo for those who haven't seen it. There's a big hill.
That's what we call Frosty's beers.
There's a photo. A big hill.
Cheese chasers.
Cheese chasers.
640-foot long hill. It's very, very steep. And there's a big, I think it's 9-pound, a wheel of cheese. Mm. Those mysterious, strange, round cheese things.
Right. Okay.
And for centuries, they've let this damn thing roll like a spare tire down the hill. And hordes of Britons chase after it. Now, there's such a crowd chasing it, it's like the running of the bulls. People actually fall on each other and stumble and break their bones.
The chasing of the cheese.
See, that's how you know the people in Spain are so much tougher. You got the running of the bulls in Pamplona, and these guys are chasing a wheel of
the cheese.
Oh, it's so dim.
I hope we can look it in after the poking of the cotton candy.
Oh, God, who caught the cheese?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, smelly dick.
Oh, my God. Smelly dick.
Don't they eat that? Doesn't it have
spotted
cheese?
Dick.
Oh, spotted dick.
It's a pudding.
Oh.
Smelly,
smelly dick is what I was referred to as.
Oh, okay. I'm confusing my...
That's what they call all Americans.
Scott in Irvine.
Hey, Triplets, what's going on?
What's up, Scott?
I had a little interesting point in college. I had a retired Air Force general or whatever the heck he was, always told the stories, and one thing he told was a result that they study between men and women in G-force and who can tolerate them better, and it turned out that women tolerate G-forces better for some reason, and they turned their back on it because they didn't want to find that information out. And that was according to him is what he said. And he said that women handle G-forces better and were actually fitted to be better pilots, and they didn't want to find that information out.
That's because we have a G-spot. That's why we handle it better.
I would agree.
No, they're not used to blood flow in the brain anyway.
Touche.
I wanted to see Danica Patrick win the Indy 500. Of course, she didn't. She came in fourth. But I wanted to see her just because I wanted to see her pour that milk all over her.
Oh.
All over her chest. I think she'd like shake it up.
Oh, she would have.
All over her face and chest.
I would have.
She would have. I don't know about you, but if I'm hot and thirsty, the last thing I want to do is drink a quart of milk.
Oh, I know.
Oh, something better than ice cold milk on a hot day.
Yuck.
No.
Yeah, and then it sits
out
in your
there
stomach.
Cutting grass.
Grab, got any milk?
Quarter milk.
paste mouth. Hello, Cal in Laguna Beach.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, Cal?
All right, I wanted to let you guys know that I used to work for a company called PPI, and they were an IndyCar racing company. And our racer was Max Pappas. He drove the MCI car, and he weighed like 120, and he was like 5'8", the smallest guy you'd ever seen. And but I got to tell you, any racer will let you know that when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter how big you are. It matters how you drive the car. It's all about skill.
So it's an excuse by all these guys that she had a little bit of advantage because she was light.
Maybe. I mean, you know, she did drive her way out of some situations that would have cost anyone else a chance in the top 10. She's a hell of a driver. I give her that. I apologize. I was wrong.
I think they're just pissed off because she got all the camera time. I didn't see much of it, but I knew it was going to be the Danica Patrick story.
Yeah.
That was infuriating. Because
it's like the Rudy of racing.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy, you know, race.
Or Rudy, the movie Rudy.
The football movie?
Yes. Right, it was like that.
Yeah, it was like she's the underdog, and this completely followed her around. You were telling me earlier that guys were going into the wall and stuff, and they never took the camera off her car.
Yeah, it's like...
Show crashes because they were showing her?
About halfway into the... I have a little scorecard when I'm watching Indy 500, and I cross the racers off as they're out of the race. Mm-hmm. I want to see who's left. And I had four or five crossed off, and suddenly they came on and said, oh, by the way, 10 people have left the race. Well, they hadn't showed five of them because the camera was following her going around the track. In fact, she even lost control trying to warm her tires up on a restart and crashed into a guy. You know, his car's back there exploding in the fire. They never even went back to him.
Was this in the beginning?
Never even said who it was. I hope Danica's okay. Oh, no, she's hurt the front of her car.
Was that in the beginning? Do you think she was, like, nervous in the beginning when she was starting to choke, and then it was like, okay, I got the bugs out, all right?
No, it was halfway in, two-thirds of the way in. Oh. She should have known better.
Hmm.
And she screwed up the whole front of her car. The wing broke off, the nose screwed up. They had to replace the whole front end of her car, and then she roars back and finishes fourth. I mean, she is a good driver, but the race coverage was all about her. Probably 70% of the race was following her, and there's 33 cars in that damn race.
So who actually won? What's that guy's name?
Weldon, I think. British
guy.
Don't
even know.
Great,
that's
great driver.
Andretti team.
Mm.
Yeah.
They broke their curse, but no big deal. I mean, that's like a secondhand story, that the Andretti's finally broke their curse.
Yeah, well, it's...
No big deal. Yeah. Did Danica win?
Right.
Is she okay?
Michael Andretti, the owner of the car, the winning car, actually took the milk and drank it. I think that was a breach of etiquette, because only the driver's supposed to drink it, I think.
Yeah.
Oh.
But he did. And he says like, I finally drank my winner's victory milk. And he's kind of like, ooh, this is awkward. You're just the owner. You're not supposed to be drinking that.
Oh. Yeah, you're supposed to eat the cottage cheese.
Right.
Right. I got Andretti's backwash and I'm the winner. And
Jameel.
Yeah, how's it going? This is Jameel. I was talking, the weight, I was feeling that was an issue because when I was watching Indy 500, They were pretty much wide open the whole time during the track. There was no shifting or whatnot, so it was like 100% the car.
No, they were shifting the whole time. Are you kidding?
I would say like maybe one time on like maybe turn two, but most of the time, if you look at it, they were maybe wide open throughout the whole track. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I would say that may be a factor. If all the cars are equal and you're wide open, then weight would definitely be a factor if it's a 1 mile an hour more quicker. But, you know.
Did they ever during the race, Rusty, like, say, now pictures of Danica as a baby? I mean, did they, like, go back to her family story and, like, cut away from the race?
Oh, not during the race, but the whole lead up to the race.
Graduation pictures.
Yeah, she was a little girl in a little race car and all that.
Yes,
yeah.
They had a featurette on her before
she's
the race
a big
started.
Wheel. She's been racing ever since she was born.
And she's got spunk. I mean, she's not a little feminine petite thing. She's like Heidi. She's like this rough, don't screw with me, I'll mess you up woman.
Her daddy wore two condoms the night she was conceived.
But she's
still
broke
that
through.
Quick and tough.
It's disgusting.
I think she'll be America's sweetheart now, because she is attractive.
Is she that attractive? I mean, I only see a couple pictures of her. And the fire racing suit really doesn't do much for a woman's figure.
Yeah, but she's got
a
good...
shapely or just like, built like a little boy?
She's got a good body. They showed her out of her suit. And she looks great.
Boobies?
Yeah, reasonably good boobies.
Bees?
I mean, racing chick boobies, you know, not fake Hollywood boobies. She may get those, though, now. Who knows?
No. It's like a female golfer. That's going to screw up your swing, going to screw up your driving. Trust me, I know. I was a better driver when I didn't have any.
Well, she might
get your boobs get in the way of
the
steering wheel.
Oh, when you're trying to turn.
That happens to me a lot, too, sometimes driving home.
See? Stop.
Can't reach my turn signal anymore. Damn left boob.
It's a handicap.
Bubba.
What's up, Tripp?
Hey, Bubba.
Hey, yeah, I just want to say I don't race professionally, but I do race amateurly at actual racetracks itself. I have three cars that we race as, drag, circle eight, and circle tracks itself. And it really does matter on the motor and the vehicle itself. For example, she had a Honda, so there's certain restrictions she has on her vehicle itself compared to an American car.
You know, as soon as I said Bubba, I knew you were a race car driver.
He doesn't sound like a Bubba, though. He sounds like a Steve.
Bubba's his racing name.
Well, actually, Frank has met me, and I met all you guys once over at the Corian the last time I seen you guys. I saw Frank right when you guys left into the limo. I had a little red mini truck, and I gave Frank a little something-something for his drive home.
That's right, Bubba.
How you doing, boys?
A little something-something.
A little kissy-kissy.
That's right. He said you reimbursed me, man, when you guys coming back out. You know what I mean?
I know.
Whenever we're invited.
We're going to head down to the OC.
We'll be right back. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Heidi, email audience concerned with for you.
Why? What did I do?
Subject line. Frank, save Heidi. Italian is using her for her house, booze, Hawaii, and trip to Italy. He's using her.
Oh.
He takes his friends to her house because his broke ass lives at home. And he's using her to go to Hawaii. Help our Heidi, please. It's obvious.
Oh.
I know she pays for everything. Why couldn't they go to his house, huh? Because he's loaded? Is she paying for the wedding, too?
There's no wedding.
And what, he can just take 2 weeks off exactly when Heidi does? He's unemployed!
Not true.
George in Southgate, he's concerned,
Thank
Heidi.
You, George. No worries. No, I invited. It was an invitation to
do
my...
Do you pay for a lot of stuff and when you guys go out together?
Not at all.
He pays?
Of course.
Right. Don't do that for a second.
Right. Are you doing better than him?
I don't know!
Yes, she is.
No, everyone
knows. I have
knows.
No idea.
You have an
idea
for a living?
I'm not talking about that.
You can't say what he does for a living?
No, I'm not going to talk about that.
Unemployed.
Can you at least say... Your economic station in life, you're probably doing, you have more, you have a bigger house, nicer car.
No.
Than him.
You can't give us general field of employment?
Finance, that's all I'll say.
You make more. Anybody who's in finance is a thief.
They can be millionaires.
Yeah.
So you're marrying up, is what you're doing.
I'm not getting married. Everything is fine.
I think Heidi has debt problems. This is her way out of it, is to marry some rich Italian guy.
No debt problems on this end.
Uh-huh.
No, none.
But all those things in the email there from George, whoever they are,
I appreciate the concern. No.
Every one of them is by itself.
I invited the Italian and the Italian's friends over for a little fun in the
sun.
Okay,
then you've never met his friends before, right?
A few of them. Some are new, some I didn't.
And so everyone thought it was appropriate to meet the Italian's new girlfriend and take off their tops and play ping pong?
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of crowd are you getting in here, Heidi?
Yeah, come on. After, 8 hours of drinking, who cares? It's fine. We're all having fun.
Okay, the women who were there, they're mainly his friends, not yours?
It was a mix.
Did he ask you to take your top off?
No.
Don't take your top off?
No.
Did he act like he'd be mad if you took your taco off?
No, it's completely...
Your taco off.
Your taco off?
My taco...
Leave your taco on, honey.
I couldn't get it off my
truck. They think you're a woman.
No, I... It was fine.
It is odd, though, that he didn't throw the party at his place. What kind of guy would okay, go, oh, honey, throw a party and I'll show up.
I wasn't.
And we'll have
was.
Other women show up and take their tops off.
I said I would love to have some people over on Saturday. What do you think? Call and find out if everybody can make it.
Okay.
It's fine. You've never had friends over to...
I don't have friends to have over.
Oh.
If I did, I'd have some.
At one point, did everything become inappropriate?
What do you mean inappropriate?
You just met these people, and nudity is usually inappropriate for a first-time meeting. At what point did it become inappropriate?
Nothing was inappropriate. It all felt very good. It was fine. There was nothing inappropriate about it. Nobody did anything with anybody else. It was fun.
That you know of.
Yeah, that I know of.
That many people there wasted, and especially with nudity going on, full nudity, something happened somewhere. You just didn't see it.
Well,
or you saw it and don't want to talk about
it. I can't comment on anything I didn't see.
Oh, I should have brought it in. I went over to a friend's house for, I think it was Memorial Day. I don't know. They all run together. And had this special dish that he made. It's the official dish of Spain or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's, what the hell is it called? It's got like rice in it.
Oh, is it Carlos's?
No. It's got like chicken, and there's some pork in it, and there's some clams, some steamed clams, and some shrimp, and it's called something.
It's supposed to be a cure for hangover?
No. This is like one of the great dishes.
The Inquisition casserole.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm eating, you know, and it's really good stuff, and there's this clam that's like not quite opened yet, and I grab it and pry it open. As I pry it open, it looked... Just like I was going to bring in clam gina today.
You didn't eat it?
Well, I tore it out, and then I kind of like held it. I'm like, oh, my God, I think it has a everything.
Oh.
Obscene description.
Yeah.
There.
That wasn't obscene. That was scientific. That's in a medical book.
Well, anyway, so it had one of those.
The clam had a hat.
There's a little man in the clam. And I was like, oh, my God. And so I stood up and I go, hey, look, I'm going to go as Frosty next Halloween. And I held it right here.
Oh, how terribly funny that
was. All right, here's your $200. Now get away from me. No.
If it was me, I'd turn around the other way and have some fun.
It was, just uncanny.
Really?
I bring you turkey badge and you don't bring me a clam badge?
Clam gina?
Clam gina?
No, I was going to put it on lemon gina on the website.
Oh, yeah.
But I
should have saved it.
I couldn't do it.
Mm.
Is it possible that you just see it in everything?
No.
Some people see the Virgin Mary and, you know, salt stains, but you seem to see this in lemons and clams.
I showed this to anybody, they would have confirmed. And everybody at the table was, like, laughing and snickering. It was great. It was really good.
Maybe some curse following you. Remember, what you touch, it'll turn into a vagina. Some witch somewhere put a hex on you. Not that it's a bad hex, but...
Well, I got to start patting you on the back. Everything I touch turns to vagina.
You're like the Midas man, but different. Gina man. I don't know. Needs work.
I got that gina touch.
You have to do that with your finger. God. Yeah. You're like Spider-Man.
Get out my bowling hand. Get the gina touch. No, it was great. I'm so pissed off that I didn't, like, put it in the freezer and bring it in today.
Yeah. So where is it now?
It's probably in the trash.
Well, go get it.
I think, the wife cleaned up the plates, and she picked up my plate, and it had my clam gina on it.
And you went, oh, damn it.
Do all clams look like that? I mean, I never inspected the inside of it. I just opened up and eat
it. Think,
I don't eat clams. I don't know.
This one was just a little over the top. I mean, it was over the
really?
Top.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Paella. No, I didn't eat it.
No. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm close.
Not paella. This is definitely not paella.
Well, yeah, I think it's what it is.
No.
No, that's isn't that a fruit and hangs from a tree?
No.
That's papaya.
Yeah. I'm surprised you know anything about fruit at all.
Well, I've read about it.
That's Michael Jackson. Doesn't he like climbing that tree?
Yeah, fruits that hang from trees. Michael Jackson.
Rolanda.
Hey, guys. I love you guys.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah, it is called a paella.
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 It is?
That's what it was.
It's
chicken and pork and clams?
Yeah, it's a rice dish with all meat.
It was delicious.
Yeah. Is it a special vaginal clam that you use or just any clam?
It usually is.
It puts the P in paella.
Yeah, and so after I showed everybody, you know, I'm like, hey, look at Clamgina. They're all going to sit there and watch me eat it.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, yeah. I feel like I should go buy it dinner first. At least feed the clam before I eat it.
And how do you eat the pervert that puts the pee in the pie?
That's us.
Good stuff, though.
Hello, Alex.
Triplets, what's up? All right. Heidi, I think I got your relations down in two words.
All right.
Green card.
Oh, like I'm Andy McDowell and the Italians, Gerard Depardieu.
Exactly. He's to you what Frosty is to Slim Fast. You kind of like the taste, but in the long run, you know it's going to do you good.
No, the Italian was born and raised here.
By the way, I've never heard anyone say the name Gerard Depardieu with any worse accent. Like that there, Gerard Depardieu.
Dippity-doo-dah. I thought I did quite well with my French.
Yeah, very good.
Gérard Depardieu.
Oh, yeah?
Is that better?
Try Catherine Deneuve.
That one I can't say. Doesn't even make any sense. Not even spelled right.
Somebody's asking if Lisa May was in the ping pong game.
I promised her I wouldn't say anything
about
it.
She was there?
I'm not saying.
She can do some ping ball trips.
Yeah. Lisa.
Ping pong ball tricks. Or for kids.
Imagine how tongue-tied you'd have been if you'd actually been there.
I know. Mm-hmm. Was she there?
I'm not saying.
Right. Is that a denial or you're not?
I neither confirm nor deny.
And that's a confirm.
Lisa May
was there,
at the ping pong party.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
This is 97.1 FM Talk.